Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm doing tip top.
Good.
So I noticed that your face is
a little scratched.
Yeah, what happens?
Well, I was going tubing down the side of a mountain.
So on the snow.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got drug up to the top of these mountains, or these foothills to these mountains, with snow machines, and then me and my daughter would send it downhill on a tube, and one of the sleds, I crashed into a tree. So, turns out trees bite.
That'll do it.
When you hit them, going really fast. Good news is, my girl didn't get hurt. I took the tree for her, but still scary. You know, I rolled out of the snow, she rolled out of the snow, and my face was covered in blood, so that must have been an image.
Amazing how faces bleed. You know, this is a good segue. I mean, this is kind of a gruesome beginning of our show, but it's a good segue into our topic, which is the change of season and new beginnings in exercise.
Ooh, yay! We love talking about exercise.
My experience of exercise is it needs to be fresh. Otherwise, it gets stale, and it's hard to do, and it's a grind, it's in a drag. And it doesn't go. You know, we all know that exercise. We need to talk about how important exercise is to our health. We've done that show already. We're just going to count it as a given that, I'm going to say it this way, human beings, the species, right, has a genetic requirement for exercise. You know, like it has a genetic requirement for air and water and sleep and food, right? It's one of those basics. If you don't do exercise, you fall apart. Your body cannot function well. You cannot feel right. You cannot function well. You just cannot. You tend to ache. You tend to fall apart. Things break. You know, there may be the rare exception of somebody who is able to not exercise much, but I don't know any of those people. I mean, maybe, you know, I'm thinking maybe, a princess in a book.
Yeah, maybe like the people who don't live active lifestyles, who are just, you know, continuously sedentary.
So those people,
they still
die
ache.
Young?
They
are,
still ache. Yeah.
I don't think they don't prosper. They don't prosper. That's what they don't do. Anyway, so regular people have to exercise. And so you need to do some kind of exercise that lights us up. Otherwise, it's just a drag. It's just this, you know, it's cleaning the bathroom. It's a thing we have to do that we don't want to do.
Yeah. I'm so sore from my weekend in the mountains. Like, I was out there in bunny boots and snow pants and gear, and climbing up the mountain. My friend also out there, he has foam swords. So we had a couple battles running around the hills with these swords, and it's such a workout to run uphill in 10-pound boots with all of your gear, and then, you know, getting on and off the sled, and everything is sore. My core, my legs, my shoulders.
Yeah, so what you need to do is be able to exercise enough to be able to do this. What you just did, you described, was called frolicking.
Yes, that was a very...
brandishing your sword in the woods. Ha! Whack, 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 right? This is why we exercise, so we can frolic and not throw our shoulder out, right?
I feel very, like, unexercised after winter, you know?
And if we're able to do exercises that are new, that challenge us, you know, running willy-nilly through the woods, swinging swords, it will work our body in different ways, and challenges in our body will, you know, get injured to some extent, right? You get sore.
Mm-hmm.
And those are micro injuries, tiny little injuries, as things kind of come apart as you're using them vigorously. And then, you know, give it a day or two or a week, depending on how old you are, they knit back together, and you come out a stronger version. You do it every day, and you just get a different body.
Mm-hmm.
You get a different version of yourself that you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
The version that knows how to frolic through the woods and brand your swords and whack, you know, your opponent. Or whatever the case may be. So you kind of want to be thinking, you know, what you want to train for. Because whatever you do, your body's going to adapt to. And you're going to become better at that. Now, eventually, it'll get stale.
Yeah.
And come fall, we'll have the show again.
Right. So
how are we going to change things up?
Back, like, in a past life, 9 years ago, I used to bodybuild, and I used to be very into exercise and fitness. And, you know, having a child changes things. Becoming a single parent definitely rearranges your life.
Yeah, so what are you going to do now? I mean, we got the change is upon us, right?
Yeah.
We're at that cusp of a new season.
Yeah, so
you got to change things up. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go running. This winter was skiing a little bit here and there. It was kind of really cold, so I didn't ski.
Tell us about running. Why running, of all things? Wait, let me make the anti-case to running. Running is painful, it's hard, it's boring. It's just grinding things out, using your willpower to overcome, right? That's what running is. Most people will think, well, running, I mean, I'll pay you money not to run. And you're picking running?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I enjoy that aspect of it. I'm one of those weird, sick people who like to overcome and like to challenge themselves and like to feel the struggle. And I feel that if I can do that in controlled ways, then I can better accept it when it's uncontrollable, when it's the things that happen in my life that I don't necessarily want to happen.
Yeah, so your ability to endure and be resilient is improved by running.
For me, I grew up playing soccer, so running had just been something I did in my sport. But then in my adult life, I did it for leisure, and it just became like a meditative thing. Like, I'm just going. I don't like running on treadmills. That is torture. But like, if I'm running outside, it's so fun to me to just run through the scene. I like to run downtown on First Avenue on the Riverwalk, and it's so fun to watch the changing of the seasons as the pussy willows pop.
Yeah, they're popping right now.
As the tree buds pop, and you know, it's a good way to be outside.
You know, use the word meditative, and I think you're right. That running has that meditative quality. Once you settle into your stride, you get your gait down, and you kind of settle in, you're running and breathing and running and breathing and running and breathing. And you do that for, I don't know, 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 minutes, some small amount of minutes. You settle into it, mm-hmm. and you get a groove going. Mm-hmm. And then your body warms up, and it starts functioning, and you're not struggling so much because you're kind of settling into your pace. And it is, in fact, a meditation. There's mm-hmm. this quiet euphoria mm-hmm. that kicks on. I don't know, euphoria maybe is too strong of a word. But you get into it 20 minutes, and euphoria is the correct word.
It is, absolutely. And then my breath matches my stride.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily trying to run my fastest mile. I'm not trying to hit a personal record, go the longest distance I can. But I am just trying to reach that meditative state.
So the other thing is that you mentioned, which is super important, is that your brain is soaking up the environment. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the trees and the rocks and the path and the people and the dogs and whatever. And it stimulates your brain in ways that are deeply satisfying. We, you know, as a species grew up, you know, outside, living in the bushes more or less. And it's home. The planet Earth is home to us. We're out there interacting, and it stimulates our brain to lay down pathways that make us feel connected to the planet and
right.
satisfied.
And connected to, you know, your town, connected to where you live, connected to the people in the place that you live. So for me, born and raised in Fairbanks, been here 32 years, and I think it's really neat that I get to live in this little segment of time where Fairbanks is laid out like this, and can't wait to see in the next 30 years what the First Avenue Riverwalk might look like.
Yeah, things will change.
Mm-hmm.
People got ideas for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so running's good. I like that. You know, funny thing is, I'm doing the same thing.
Ooh.
I'm not much of a runner anymore.
You're a biker, right?
I like to bike more. Yeah. Running's more of a plod. But there's something about getting on a trail, and then the speed of running's just about right. You know, a bike is so fast on those mountain trails that it's death-defying, and which is fun, too. There's that excitement that goes with it. But to get on a trail and just kind of, you know, go at a different pace and kind of soak it up, there's a deep satisfaction to doing that. And also, I'm lucky because I live in the woods.
Yeah.
There's a trail that goes out my back door
yeah.
into the woods that I can run as far as I'd ever want to run. And so I like that as well. That makes it easy and lovely and delightful.
So you're doing different, you're doing trail running. I'm doing pavement running. Those are very different worlds.
Yeah, you know, you got to have better shoes to do pavement running because of the pounding. I do minimalist shoes.
Yeah, the zero grade shoes.
Yeah, and so they're basically like moccasins.
Yeah, I got some of those too with like a wider toe. I really like those.
They're nice. They put you in connection with the ground, but you have to be very careful where you put your foot. You step on a root or a rock, and it's crippling.
Oh, you use zero grade out on the trail?
Yeah.
Okay. I use zero grade in town.
So yeah. I've done that before too, but my feet don't hold up to the pounding very well.
Yeah, my plantar fasciitis is kind of starting to get inflamed again.
Okay, so here's the thing. You picked a thing. It's fun to do. That's great. Let's talk about options and other kinds of things to do. Let's widen the conversation.
Well, you mentioned biking.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going somewhere with this one. It's that what I want to talk about is setting it up with joy, setting it up so that you have a better life, setting it up to where you look forward to the thing that you're going to do, setting it up to where this term becomes important to you and it becomes a thing you look forward to, and you want to actually do exercise and do it well, that's what you need to do. It is possible to do it that way. I know lots of people are like, what are you talking about? Exercise is always a chore. Look forward to it? I mean, how could that even happen? I'll tell you how it could happen. If it turns out your social circle depends on your exercise, and a lot of times people do, then it turns out to be an absolute joy. You look forward to it because you get to meet with your peeps.
And I think Fairbanks is a really good town for that. Fairbanks has a lot of different options for social exercise. We have a couple cycle gyms in town that also provide strength training. We have several yoga studios in town that also provide Pilates classes. So a lot of these different gyms in town are giving a wide range of exercise and also building community, which I think is pretty incredible. Given how small Fairbanks is, it's pretty amazing how many different gyms and clubs there are. Also, like, outside of these official gyms, there are like bike clubs or ski clubs or...
So I have a patient who's got type 2 diabetes. He's in his mid-70s. When he came to me, he was just basically falling apart. He was overweight. He's got heart disease. He's just falling apart, really, is what it is. And that's what happens with diabetes. You do diabetes for a lifetime, and it wears on you. And so I talked to him about exercise, and he was like, oh, I hate exercise. I want to do exercise. I just wanted to, you know, do things that are useful. If I'm gonna use my energy, then I want to actually build something or make something. I'll do yard work or I'll build a house. He was in the process of building a house in the woods, and that's the correct use of exercise. And I said, yeah, notice how your shoulders are, notice how your hips are, notice how your knees are. You're falling apart. This is not a good way to do it. This is just called wear and tear, is what it is. So we negotiated, and I sent him one of the local gyms, Red Strength. I can use to tell them I don't get any money from them from doing that. Just let people know that you got a good gym. And what he found there was community. He found a bunch of guys like him or ahead of him in the sense that they'd been doing this gym thing for a while. They knew his body type. They knew his situation. They could come over and they could give him advice. Now, he had trainers there as well, but it turns out he got more benefit from the other patrons. And they really have a community, have a little posse of guys, five guys, who all like each other.
Yeah.
Like, they like to talk. They like to banter. They like to, you know, to challenge each other, and the quality of his life changed immensely.
Yeah.
It really went from a life that was kind of sad and isolated to a life that was rich and dynamic. I mean, I cannot stress how much this thing was. It made I see these play out over and over again. I see that when people come in and they're sick, that the thing that was most important for them wasn't the pill or the herb. It was the change of situation. That's what really made everything work. Not to say the pill and the herb were part of it too, but the linchpin on his case was absolutely exercise. It changed his body, and he's like glowing with happiness right now. It's amazing to see somebody, you know, go from 75 to 16.
And I think that along with the exercise, the community piece is really important. I feel like Fairbanks is a very easy community to isolate yourself in and kind of get very set in your ways. And
I suspect any community is.
Yeah.
Really, because this is going on around the world. We have an epidemic of isolation.
Yeah.
We just do. Yeah. For whatever weird world we live in where people tend to isolate more than they did, I'm not sure exactly why. I know it's been in the works for a long time.
Because we have social media now. It's because we have something in our hands that gives us this pseudo connection that makes us feel like we're in the mix of this collective, but it takes away the actual human connection piece of it.
You know, I think I agree with you, but back in the 60s and 70s, they called it TV. The reason why the world was going to hell in a handbasket was because of TV. Now, TV is basically dead, and the world's still going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, TV went on steroids.
TV went on steroids, and...
And don't forget about video games. That's another one.
Oh, gosh. I could really go on a rant.
All right, so classes are helpful. Gyms are helpful. Not necessarily a class where you go in and you know, but a situation. I'll give you another situation that I got a lot out of was a climbing gym.
Yeah.
That's not for everybody. You know, it's hard to come in never having climbed anything.
It's really hard to climb. I took my daughter to a birthday party last weekend at the SRC, and their rock wall is incredible. But I tried to get up and do a little bit, and I could not as much as, yeah, I couldn't do it as much as a little 8-year-old monkey could.
True enough.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's the kind of thing your body adapt to. I went into this as an older person. I never had climbed before. I started climbing in my 50s, which was weird, right? Because who does that in their 50s? But I got decent. I mean, I wasn't ever very good. But, you know, good enough. Good enough to climb.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough to go up the, to send the routes and, you know, learn how to do it better. Learn how to kind of use my body better. My body changed and it adapted to it. But more than that was my skill sets. I kind of learned how to move my body in a way. That thing where you grab it and you pull it up.
Yeah.
And you like that. Yeah, that is exhausting. You're going 30 seconds tops doing that. The thing is, you long arm it, and then you keep your arms long, and you turn your big muscles to be able to go up the wall. It's a different way of moving, not necessarily intuitive, but you can do it, you know, for, you know, a lot longer. So there's a technique, and that comes from the community too. The people there, God bless them, would say, "Scott, you're hurting me. Here, let me show you something."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, that's weird. I never thought of it that way. Let me try. And sure enough, there it was. I was going to the top now and ascending things that were beyond my reach before. So like that. Community is really good. And then the thing, it's kind of a lame story I just told, but the essence of that story is I did a new thing. It was hard. And then afterwards, I felt like enlivened. I felt like, wow, this is really great. I like that feeling of ascending, where you learn something and you get better at it.
Yeah.
And you get this kind of float where your brain rewards you.
Right.
Because you're learning a new thing, you're doing something
new.
That's hard. Now, here's the trick of that. You got to try something that you don't know how to do. And that is hard.
It's scary.
Yeah, because now you're bad.
Yeah.
You're a beginner.
Yeah, I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I'm 32 years old and I'm trying to learn this. That's silly. I'm not 8 years old. I can't just get up there and do it. But now hearing
I'm
you do it
because
at
you're 32.
50,
you
yeah.
seem so young.
It seems so old. But, you know, you inspire me to get out there and try rock climbing.
Yeah, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's like everything else. When you try it a little bit, and then you get a little success at it, and then, you know, the nice thing about doing this rock climbing thing is that you can't do it all the time. It's these basically sprints. You can't climb for hours and hours and hours, but at least not here. And so a lot of times people are sitting on the edge of the foam, you know, because there's these foam floors. In case you fall, you land on the foam, you don't get hurt. So you sit on the edge of the foam and you watch somebody climb, and then you sit next to somebody else and, hi, I'm Scott. And then, you know, they're climbing. You say, hey, you know, there's a red one over to your left.
Right? Yeah, you are.
And they, oh, thanks. right? And then they grab onto the left that one, and that swings them up to the next one. And so there's a natural, easy community because everybody's just doing it together, and you just kind of hanging out with folks, and you just can't help but start talking about stuff because you're working the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're
it's
doing the same thing.
You're doing the same thing. Yeah, you're working the same problem. Uh-huh. It's right there. And the people who work those same problems, they're on the same level, and so that they naturally congregate, and it's easy. And a lot of times, somebody will be a little bit better than you, mm-hmm. and then they can say, hey, you know, really on that one, turns out the start's really important. You want to get both your feet up on that little nut nib. Is it? That's a foot thing? I mean, you can touch it. Yeah, that one right there. And then that'll get you up to the next one. Or you'll be the good guy. You'll be the one who knows how to do it. And somebody comes in there just like, you know, they don't have any idea how to go up it. And then you can throw them a bone.
Yeah.
And give them some advice. And then sometimes it makes a real difference. And it's like, wow, this is fun.
That's kind of what I've found in my yoga community is lots of different yogis, different levels, all helping each other. There are really advanced yogis in the class that, you know, when we get into different postures, give each other different tips and pointers of how they would come into the pose. And it's really helpful in those ways.
Okay, so there is an epidemic of loneliness and meaningless lives. People feeling like they don't make a difference, right? And this is the cure.
Yeah.
What we're talking about right now is the cure. It's called community, right? And you got to exercise anyways because we have a genetic requirement for that. We already established that. There's reasons, good and sufficient reasons to exercise. Now, if you can set your exercise up and get into some community at the same time, that's great. Now, it's not for everybody. Some people would rather run the trails by themselves. We started with that. And yet, I'm out running lately up and down the road mostly because the trails are also covered with snow. But there's community in running too because they got this race coming up, the Chena River Run that the Downtown Rotary Club sponsors. Mm-hmm. Patrick and I signed up for it. Patrick's nice. My 10-year-old. And it was funny.
Is that a 5K?
It's a 5K. Yeah, okay. It's easy schmeasy. So I talked to Patrick. I said, hey, Patrick, I want to do this run. You want to run with me? No. I said, okay, so now you have to go to that meeting that's going to be 4 hours long that Mom's doing out in North Pole. He says, sign me up.
Yeah, let's do it. Me and Addie actually ran the Midnight Sun Run last year. And the year before that, she had biked it. And then last summer before the run, she said, Mom, I think I'm ready to run. I think I want to run it this year. So we ran it.
Cool.
She did the whole thing.
That's a 10K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like halfway through the run, I was like, dear God, is this child going to slow down? Like, I can't do this. I can't keep up. But she didn't slow down. And we finished it in like an hour 15.
Oh, how about that? That's great.
Yeah. So
That's excellent.
She's ready to do it again. She asked me the other day.
And she's wee. She was like, what, 7, 8?
Last year she was 7. This year she's 8. So she's 50 pounds. Yeah, she asked
50
me.
50 pounds of pure muscle.
Yeah.
And bone. Sinew.
It's lit. She's lean, yeah. But she did ask, you know, when are we going to start running again? I want to do the Midnight Sun Run. And now that we're downtown, we have all these trails accessible. So we might see you out there for the Chena River Run.
Good. So let's, since we are living in Fairbanks, and this show is run not only on the, YouTube and for the rest of the world to see, but also on the radio here in Fairbanks. Let's focus on Fairbanks a little bit more and talk about some stuff that's going on. Rumor has it that Women on Wheels is back up and running.
Nice.
They took a break for a year. Women on Wheels is a biking organization of women who ride bikes, women on wheels.
Okay, so it's, all ages?
Yeah, all ages.
Kind of ride bikes?
Here's the thing.
Like riding bikes?
All ages of people, of women who can ride fast.
Okay.
This is the downside to this. There are these women who like to ride fast and they like to go together, and that's what Women on Wheels is. So just let you know, if you're starting out, Women on Wheels is not the group for you. If you're just starting out and you want to just do a group ride, what you need to do is hook up with the Ladies of Leisure.
Oh, the Ladies of Leisure. Okay.
Yes, the Ladies of Leisure. By the way, they lie.
They're not very leisurely.
They're not as leisurely as their name would give you the impression. But they are much more leisurely than the Women on Wheels.
That
so there is this opportunity. You know, the nice thing about biking is if you really do want to keep up and you don't want to necessarily have to train like you know, hard all the time to do it, there's an easy solution. You just get an e-bike.
Yeah.
And then when there's this little thing, there's a little switch you flip with your thumb, and you go from an eco to a turbo, and then suddenly you're leading the pack. You're at the top of the hill.
I have a
saying,
buddy.
Where are y'all?
I have a buddy who's trying to get me to convert my bicycle to an e-bike.
So we bought one for Christy, my lovely wife, because Patrick and I have been doing the single tracks. There's a trail, a fabulous trail here in Fairbanks up on the Esther Dome. And we've talked about it before. Yep. I might have done a show on this dang trail.
I think we've done a bike show.
Anyways, they put a bunch of money and a bunch of time into improving the trail. They have bank turns. It's a thing called a flow trail. Funny thing is I talked to the guy who spearheaded this. This is Joel Booth, who owns Goldstream Sports. And Joel said, when we set it up first, we put bank turns on it. And we just did it because we wanted to. And we just thought it would be cool. And the people who are helping us do this kind of coordinate it, like, you know, on the national level, said, oh, no, you should, that's not how it's done. You got to have this thing where it's flat and you do whatever through the woods and so on and so forth. And then he said about a month later, there was an article came out about this new style of trail called the flow trail that had bank turns and you flow. And then suddenly we were legit. We were building them before it was built.
Yeah.
But then it turned out to be a thing. There was this idea that the biking community across the country all kind of thought of at the same time. And now we have a fabulous flow trail. And not only that, but we figured out how to do flow trails better. And we've improved some of the little sticky parts that didn't work quite well. And I did a trail at the end of the summer. And it was a dream. It was just absolutely fabulous.
And they aren't melted up there yet.
No. Okay. They're not going to be ready until probably another month.
Ugh.
Because they still have enough snow on the ground. And once the snow all melts, it turns to mud, which is not really fun to go ride in. I mean, I guess if you're the right age, but I'm kind of like an adult. And then afterwards, once it dries out, then you could go do this flow thing. But anyways, the thing that they've managed to do is really take the technology of trail construction and improve the quality of the trail to the point where it's a different experience. There really is a flow. And the complaint we have is all of us could go. We have an exchange student that goes with us and whoever else go with us. We do this little group of people going. We're not particularly fast, but we're not particularly slow either. You know, we move along the trail pretty nicely. And mom can't go. She can't keep up. She just doesn't have it in her to be able to, you know, she has to get off her bike and push it up the hills. But so we got her a mountain bike, electric bike. And so it's got knobby tires on it, it's got the shocks on it, it's got all the stuff you expect for a mountain bike on a trail bike. Except for when she needs to go up the hill, she just flips the button.
That's what I need. I am not a hill climber girl at all. Hey, Dr. Looper, I think we are about out of time for this episode.
Good. Any last thoughts?
You've inspired me to get out there and try some new things this summer. I think I'm going to get into some rock climbing. So
good. Excellent. So try new things. That's great. That's really what I'm trying to get people to do is it to take a stab at it, and you will be richly rewarded. I mean, honestly, it's just going to be something that really makes a big difference in your life. You're going to feel better. And then in, you know, the end of the summer, you'll need to switch it up because the season changes here. You know, elsewhere, the same changes to some extent, but it's just a good idea periodically to try something new, to change the pattern, to stimulate your brain, to get yourself out of the rut that you're in and try something else. It's hard, it's challenging, and that's part of the reason why people do so well with it, and your sense of satisfaction with life goes up for doing this. Really, just the ultimate project here is the happiness project. We're all looking to be happy.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not like happy, we just had ice cream happy. It's happy. I did something hard and I actually got through it and I feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Like that kind of happiness, real happiness. Okay, Haley.
Awesome.
Very good.
Thank you.
Party on.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy.
This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.